May we trust in you, O God, to faithfully send your word into our lives so that we may be as trees growing and planted by rivers of living water, producing good fruit in their season, rooted and grounded in you. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from a couple of different books today, and Irma's going to be our reader.
You are gathering your heart.
Powerful words from the Torah, the law of Moses, the teachings. It is so radical to everything about our human nature that wants us to think of self only, our instinct for self-preservation. God has the audacity to call us to empathy. And because of that, we as humans have this ability to go against our innate natural instinct. So instead of being self-centered and self-preserving, we can be generous. We can empathize with others. We can give even when it is not easy to do so. We can even sacrifice and risk our own lives for each other. God does not just say it once. He says it three times, and that was always in ancient Israel. That meant it really meant something. It was very important. You must listen to this. As Irma reminded us, God said it three times. Three times. And each time it builds, as you noticed. It's kind of a short, and then a little longer. And then by Deuteronomy, we really get the full meaning of what God wants and why. Leave the leftovers. The corners of the fields, and the fruit trees, and the olive trees, the vines, so that the orphan and the widow and the foreigner can be fed. And why? So you won't forget where you came from. Why do we have government programs like community action, food stamps, and welfare? Well, I think the answer is simple. Because we ignore God's teaching. for hundreds, if not thousands of years. We just ignored it. So by the time 1929 came along, we had huge companies that just didn't care about the poor, the widow, the orphan. Children were made to work 14-hour days in those sweat factories all over the country, especially in the big cities, in the early part of this last century, and before that even. Big companies made a lot of money off the backs of working people, off the taxes of working people, and they just didn't care. So when 1929 came along, there was no safety net. There was nothing. It all fell apart. And very rich people jumped out of windows because they didn't know what to do. How could they live without their money? It gives a new insight to remember when Jesus, that young ruler, came to him and said, "What must I do to be on this road to do what you're pointing to? How do I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commands." And he said, "Yeah, but I've done all those since I was a kid." "Well, then give away everything you have to the poor," he said, "and then follow me." But the man couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I always ask myself, could I? I don't know what the answer would be. Those guys in 1929, they jumped out of a building because they lost all their wealth. They could not fathom living without it. And who was really hurt in that Great Depression? The working people. Working people. The big banks really just didn't care. Kind of sounds like 2008, doesn't it? They forgot to leave the leftovers. They forgot to provide a safety net, and look what happened. So the government said, "No way. We can't let this happen again. We just can't." And so we have community action. We have food stamps. We have welfare. And we complain about these all the time. "Well, those people are loafers, and they're not, you know." I remember when I was a kid, I was on welfare. We stood in the line behind the trucks where they gave out surplus food. You had to stand there and watch people drive by you, and they knew who you were and what you were doing there. It was embarrassing. It was not fun. And yet we survived because of that food. And that surplus food was basically army food that was left over. At least the army was listening to what the Bible said, maybe they didn't know they were doing that. They gave the leftovers to us. Some of it was good. Some not so much, but it was food. We were fed. You know, we have all these agencies to look after the poor, and our taxes pay for it. And really, what are we complaining about? This is exactly what we're supposed to be doing, according to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Because we're not an agrarian society anymore. We don't all have fields that we can leave corners of, so we pay taxes so that others can survive in this world. We're more industrial and financial and service-oriented now, so we just don't have those things left anymore. And if we did, who would do that? Do you think the big farming corporations would do that? Why do you think Gary's son is going out of business? It's because he's not big enough, right? Am I right? He just can't be that big. It's a corporation now that does all the farming. They don't care about poor and the widow, they just care about the bottom line, like the big banks and the big corporations. And even if they did, even if they said, "Okay, instead of handing out food stamps, you come on over to our cornfield and get some corn, or you and go down the street and get some soybeans," what would you do with it? We don't know what to do with stuff out of the ground. I mean, some of us have our gardens and we go to the farmer's market and we get fresh produce, but really to produce grain and flour and all those other things, we wouldn't know what to do. We just don't have the technology, the knowledge that the folks back in this day did. In this book we're reading, the guy in here, Denver Moore, talks about how life was as a basically a slave, a sharecropper. They had to raise all their own food. They did not get paid. They got a roof over their head, an outhouse they might have to share with somebody else, and maybe a pig from the man, they called him. But they had to do everything else themselves, and they wasted nothing. Nothing got wasted. But we're not like that anymore. We are a consumer-driven society. If we want it, we buy it. That's how it works in our world today. So it's a hard thing to even think about. How could we do this, God? Go back and do what you said for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. God doesn't leave out the foreigner. Sometimes I think we should be calling out to these big, huge corporations, what are you doing? Why are you doing it the way you're doing? Where are you leaving the rest of us? Look what happened in 2008. You didn't care, did you? You just wanted more money. Greed. Big corporations don't have any empathy. They have none. They're not designed that way to have empathy. But they should. And we should call them out to that. You who make so much profit, what are you giving back? What leftovers are you leaving for the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner? There's so much that could be done to alleviate the suffering around our world, to alleviate the huge tax burden on us, the middle class. Corporations are only worried about their bottom line, not society's. And so our elected officials are left to dealt with all of this, to deal with all of this. And our churches and our communities with little or no help from the wealthy corporations. Now, there are a couple that actually do stuff, that no doubt. But they're few and far between, and what they do is really only a drop in the bucket of what could be done. Our restaurants, our grocery stores, our food producers throw enough food away every day to feed just about every person in our country, if not the world. I heard the figure, and I can't remember, but it was some millions of tons of food are wasted every day, thrown out because the sell-by date is gone or this or that. There is a man, a chef, who goes around in different countries, and all he does is provide basically a restaurant for the homeless. He makes it really nice, too, not just a hall with a bunch of tables. He spends his own money and makes it really nice, and then he gets all the food that's going to be thrown away and turns it into fabulous meals for folks. But he's only one man, and he's doing some. At least he's doing something. But there's so much more that could be done. If we all spent as much energy focusing on doing things like that instead of killing each other, it would be a wonderful place, our world. We spend more to kill each other than we do to help each other. It's a shame. We are ignoring God's command, ignoring it, to our own peril, I might add. There's no excuse for the numbers we saw in our video today. We have the food. We just don't care enough to figure out a way to get it to hungry mouths. It would cost too much, probably. Well, that's the big corporations, but what about us, the working class? Well, we pay our taxes to these agencies, and that should be enough, but is it? No, we know it's not. We all know it's not. I'm preaching to the choir here. But I hope that when we are in our workplaces and when we are among our friends who may not ever hear these messages, let them know too. We know this. We should be spreading the word. I love Matthew 14. I've told this a million times, and I'll tell it again. And I hate telling it, but I love telling it. I love telling it because it's so true, and I hate telling it because it's so convicting. Jesus, you remember, was inundated with the crowds, and he had just heard that his cousin John had been beheaded by Herod, and he was really grieving. So he got into the boat early morning and set out for a lonely place on the other side of the lake to get away from the crowds, because they were just driving him nuts at this point. And he had just heard that John was killed. He had to get away. But a few people saw him go in the boat, and so they started walking around the lake, and they collected more people and more. Where are you going? Well, Jesus is going out, By the time he got over, there was 5,000 men plus women and children. He got out of the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He spent the rest of the day healing them and teaching them. And finally, his disciples, who had also walked around the lake, came to him and said, "Master, it's late in the day, and we're in the middle of nowhere. We've got to send these people away into the town so they can buy food for themselves." And Jesus looked right at them, and he said, "They don't need to go away. You feed them. You feed them." Jesus said this to his working class disciples who also paid their taxes. He did not say it to the rich. He called them out at other times. But this time he said it to his followers, "You feed them." And as I said before, I think Jesus believed they could do it. But they didn't. So they couldn't. Jesus believes we can do it. As I said in a previous sermon, all we need to do is take what we have, give thanks, and then begin sharing. That's all Jesus is asking us to do. And that's what he did that day. He took those 5 loaves and fish, gave thanks, and then just began sharing. And it says about 8,000 people altogether were fed. Why? Because Jesus felt for the people. He had empathy. It's all about empathy. Can we open our hearts and feel what other people are going through? Can we understand where they are at? In Deuteronomy, God said, "Don't forget where you came from. You were slaves. You were slaves." He wants his people to remain humble and to empathize with others who are in that same situation, to work for the good of others and not become so self-centered that they have no really good use for the kingdom. Thinking about memory, Jesus said at the Last Supper, which is appropriate, "Do this in memory of me." Don't forget where I came from, Jesus said. Remember what I've done. My willingness to be a servant to you. And do the same. Jesus came and was a servant to the poor, the working class, the despised, the outcasts. Whoever they are today, that's who Jesus would go to, no matter how much it might drive you crazy to think about who those people are. That's where Jesus would be. Don't forget, Jesus said, remember me. That's why I love this picture. This young woman, look at her. Have you ever felt that way? Shame, the embarrassment. She has no shoes. And then there's the man who is moved with empathy to give his pair of sandals. Take them off his feet and give them to her. They're too big, but it's okay. I'm sure he probably has many sandals, or he can buy more. That's not the point. The point is, she needed them, and he had them, so he gave them to her. And I can feel her thankfulness, too. It's not a grand gesture, it's just a pair of flip-flops. But to her, it may be the very first pair of shoes of any kind she's ever had. Why do we walk? Because as I said last week, God is calling us to stand in solidarity with not only our Christian and brothers around the world in communion, but also with the foreigner and the widow and the orphaned, to meet their needs big and small, as we can, as we share. And this day and next Saturday morning, that's exactly what we are doing. Amen. Let us sing together. God, whose giving knows no ending. God, whose giving knows no ending.